Next up is a way to get your teeth cleaner faster.
Hi, sharks. My name is Bobby Peterson. I am all the way here from Brooklyn, New York, and I am asking for $150,000 for 10% of my company. Most of the latest advances in electronic toothbrush heads are getting smaller and smaller. Look at the amount of surface area that's covered with this brush. How is that helpful? I'm an orthodontist, and my product is the Big Mouth Toothbrush. This spa in your mouth with a wider head is specifically designed to cover more surface area when you brush, creating a more massaging, relaxing feeling while you're brushing your teeth.
Welcome, Supers, to another Shark Tank Tank Tales interview. I am here today at our facility, which is a different than you've ever seen here on the channel, our conference room here, a part of Fleet Solutions, to conduct an in-person interview, which is only the second person I've gotten to do.
Oh, wow.
The first one was Dino Don.
Okay.
If you recall Dino Don, yeah, because he was in like Villanova area.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, just come to the house. It'll be great. I was like, all right. And I showed up and we did it. So, but before we get into the list of questions that I have here, I need you to give some super claps for Super Dr. Bobby Peterson.
Woo!
Welcome, Dr. Bobby. How are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing.
It's really nice and early.
Yeah, very early.
I was like, yeah, she's coming all the way out of Brooklyn to be here in South Jersey, which is, like a 2.5 hour drive. In fact, I just sold a laptop to somebody who drove out of Brooklyn. He was like 19.
Oh.
He's like, he needed a laptop. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I got nothing else to do. All right, I'll come down. So I was like, all right, like coincidentally. Here, it's what, 8:20 in the morning.
It's very early.
It is early, but I figured you were an early riser because I was like, oh, man, I was up at 4:15.
Listen, so. I'm always up early. That is true. But do I want to come out of the house early is another thing. I'm always up early working.
So, all right. So normally we would start with what's your relationship with Shark Tank prior to ever getting to think that you would go on Shark Tank?
Okay. I was a fan. I still am a fan. Shark Tank is one of my favorite shows. It's one of my favorite shows. I'm a serial entrepreneur. Anyone who has any type of interest in business, they're usually a fan of Shark Tank. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, before that, I was a fan. That's it.
So, a fan going back to like the very beginning, or like in the last like 4 or 5 years,
I would say probably the last 4 or 5 years. But I'm a binger, so I would say I probably have seen just about every episode.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a number of episodes I haven't watched myself yet.
I love the show
intentionally because of now the channel. So I had to stop.
Oh.
Yeah. So my wife used to watch it, and then once this started, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to watch it because I'm not going to watch it again because
right.
It shades your questioning. It just changes the reactions and the questions that come up in a way that I don't like to present to the people, the super community.
It makes sense.
So, okay, so that now that we got that out of the way, let's start with where did Bobby, the name Bobby, come from? Obviously, there was Barbara.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of people do ask that now because there are so many people that know me that, well, think they know me, but don't know my actual first name until they saw that, right? So my name is Barbara. I'm named after my mother, and I named my daughter after myself. So there needed to be some sort of, we had to be able to distinguish who is who, right, when people were referring to us. So gradually, they call my mom's from the South. They call her Bobby Joe, right? That's what her family called her, Bobby Joe, right?
Okay.
But she's also Barbara. So when, in her work, she's a nurse. So when she works, they call her Barbara. For me, Bobby just came along when I went to college. The college, dental school, it was like, okay, Barbara just seemed extremely formal for me when I was younger. And, my brother just started calling me Bobby. They're like, okay, you're like little Barbara, like my mom, little Barbara. And that's how Bobby came. Then with my daughter, she literally looks like a Barbie doll. She's like extremely small, just petite, tall. She looks like a Barbie doll. So her friends started calling her Barbie when she was like in middle school as a nickname.
Mm.
So it wasn't like we decided to call ourselves these names. They kind of gradually you know, became our nicknames, and it was great in order for us to distinguish ourselves.
So I wasn't sure if it went back to like you being a kid and it starting like that far back.
No, my childhood nickname is actually Candy. That's a whole nother story. My whole family calls me Kid. It's a whole nother story. But yeah.
In my family, I'm Joe. My dad is Dominic. My grandfather was Joe. Great grandfather Dominic. So it skips, right?
Yes.
But that makes it difficult, even for like the credit people and things. Like for a while there, my grandfather's house was wasn't under my name. But when you looked it up on the credit report, it was like, oh, you own this house over there, and I was like, I'm 19 years old. I don't know house. Like,
Joe, have people calling me right now thinking that I'm my mom and that they're asking me if I want to sell my house in Newfield. I'm like, I have properties in New York. You know, make it make sense.
Like, I know.
No, there's a lot of cross reference. I get it.
Yeah. On my grandfather's dad, or my grandfather's brother, was Michael, and then there was Michael, and then there was Michael. So it was baby Michael, Mike Jr., and Mike.
You Italian?
I am, yes.
Okay. I know this is going to sound so funny. One of my favorite movies is Goodfellas, and it's so funny, that scene that's like, oh, this is Tommy, and this is Joey, and this is Mikey, and this is Mikey, and this is his brother, Joey, and this is Mikey. Yeah. So it's kind of like that. Okay, I get it. And there's Dominic.
Everybody's got to be basically the same name.
You keep the names in the family. We do too.
Yes.
My brother's name is James. My grandfather's name is James. His son's name is James. Like, we're not Italian.
But we
also keep the names in the family.
No, I think it's great, except for the outside people that are calling you about things that, like, is not yours.
They're easily confused. It's okay.
It says you were born in what year?
Right. Hello, I'm 10. How do I own this house?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So one of the things that they didn't talk, because we'll get into the tank, but one of the things they didn't talk about in the tank was why dentistry?
Okay. So my dad is a dentist. Well, he was a dentist. He was retired by the time I was like 18. But I was a science geek, right? Throughout school, I was like, I majored in science. You know, I loved biology and chemistry. And once you're in your second, third year of college, you have to figure out what are you really going to do? Are you going to go into medicine? I'm a little bit, you know, squeamish when it comes to like death and like guts and stuff like that. So I'm like, maybe that's not for me. Do I want to shoot up lab rats all my life? Nah, not so much. So I was like, let me try my hand in dentistry. And it's something that I tried and I actually really liked.
Mm.
But the procedures that I liked didn't make money. So I was like, I have to specialize. I mean, that sounds crazy, but it's like I wanted to be comfortable, as we all do, right?
Yeah.
So then I decided to specialize, and that's how I became an orthodontist.
And for the people like me who don't know the difference between orthodontist and dentistry, general practice dentistry.
Right. Great question.
Yeah.
I get that a lot on my TikTok. There are a lot of, you know, TikTok has a lot of younger users. So they think, oh, she's a dentist. You know, they don't know the difference between it. So it's like every orthodontist is a dentist. But every dentist is not an orthodontist. That's how I kind of like explained it to them initially.
Okay.
It's like, you know, you have your general doctor that you go see every year. But if you need surgery, you go see your surgeon. If you need to be seen by a gynecologist, you go to that specialist. So I'm like, yes, I'm a dental specialist. There are also specialties within the dental realm that a lot of people don't know. So yes, every surgeon, periodontist, orthodontist, you have to go through dental school. And you can either, once you finish dental school, you can either become a dentist with general dentistry, fillings, crowns, bridges, or you go back to school to specialize, learn a little bit more about a specialty, and that's what I did with orthodontics. I liked to move teeth in people's heads.
So. Okay.
So I wanted to learn more about that.
So that's specifically what they do.
They'll
move the teeth. So like braces and things?
Yes, braces, Invisalign. We work with oral surgeons as well. And this might be a little bit boring to your viewers, but when you see people with jaw abnormalities, like either a big lower jaw or a big upper jaw, all of the oral surgeons, even if it's like a cosmetic issue, they have to work with orthodontists in order to align the teeth properly. Because you can move this jaw here and this jaw there. We're the ones that once they line it up, we make the teeth line up. if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're pretty important.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Especially if you're going through all the trouble of doing, of moving,
yes,
you know, body parts.
Yes. Like, hello.
Yeah. Like, it, you want it to look right at the end of the day.
Yeah. And you want people to be able to chew and speak properly. I mean, that's our job.
Chewing's pretty important.
Yeah. Last time so, I mean, for me, I love food, so.
Absolutely. I should have brought my bell. That's one thing I did forget.
Tell me about the bell.
So, where did it come from?
Mm-hmm.
It came out of, I don't know, like, you know, radio shows and stuff, they'll have different sound effects and things of that nature. And I originally had a soundboard with lots of different sound effects.
Yes, okay.
But the bell
okay.
is what stuck because it enables me to agree or clap without having to interrupt the video or interrupt what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you know, ding, ding.
That
like,
makes a lot of sense.
You know, so that's where it came from. Some people love it. Some people hate the bell. I love it because it gives me an opportunity to clap without
yes.
really interrupting.
We need a bell.
I do. I have one in my office. It's all the way on the other side of the. I was here for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Just waiting and making sure everything was going good. And
we'll do.
Yes, ding ding.
I know you don't have nails, but we'll do that.
Yeah, I ain't got nails. So another thing that in the tank they didn't seem to really get into was why a toothbrush.
You know, there's no deep explanation for that, to be honest. Like, I am in the dental field. My life is teeth. Okay. Like, I am dedicated to improving oral health care, as every dentist is, right? And that sounds cliche, but that's literally my life. And I personally did not like the fact that all of like the latest advances in all of the electronic toothbrushes were getting smaller and smaller. Like, that was something that was just like, okay, that's what triggered me to say, I wish I had a toothbrush that was just a little wider, that kind of covered like more surface area. I want to see how that would feel. And it wasn't even something that I was going to kind of let go public at first, because I've done like smaller businesses where I just keep it, you know, kind of local. But once I got the first design and I actually felt how the toothbrush felt being wider, and the first version of the toothbrush was way wider than it is right now. But I was like, "This, I think I'm onto something. This feels great." And I've always been someone who definitely would want to retire early. I've always wanted to look into passive forms of income. I thought I would do the real estate thing, so I bought a couple properties. You know, I've done a couple of different businesses. But when I started to develop this one, it was like, I think this is it. This is something I can be extremely passionate about. And it's literally a matter of people just trying it in order to understand what I'm saying when I speak about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I know back in the early 2000s, I had like an Oral-B one that had like the real small circle toothbrush. And I remember like my dad saying, well, it's not the toothbrush you would use. You don't use it every day. And I don't know if that was from like the marketing or like where that came from. But yeah, I mean, it was so tiny, like it would take forever to like if you actually wanted to brush your brush. Yeah. So like, I mean, more recently I got one that has, well, it's definitely smaller than like even a regular toothbrush. It works great, but it does take a while. And I always, I mean, there's sometimes where like, I was like, oh, I think I got it all. I'll smile in the mirror and I'm like, oh, no, I need it. And I'm sitting there like using it, like trying to like, yeah, it's like a pick almost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to see. You can't see while you're brushing your teeth.
You can't see. And I really think that people like the way they look. Like, I think a lot of things right now
aesthetics.
Are about image. Yes, everything is aesthetics. So, yes, it looks nice, but is it really practical when, like, gum disease and periodontal disease is increasing? Like, so it's like, you kind of had to, like, I kind of had to, like, weigh the, like, get to a certain balance with that. Yes, we like how these look. They feel nice in your mouth. Sonic toothbrushes, they feel nice. But can we create a toothbrush that's going to make it so that people that have like busy lives can just brush for like the 1 minute and be done and still like get that nice clean feeling of teeth. You know what that is. Every time I do that, people laugh because it's like, it's a feeling, but it's hard to describe. When you brush your teeth and you know you've gotten every corner, you do that. Yes, it's like that fresh from the dentist type feeling, you know? A lot of these toothbrushes do not give that to you. Big Mouth is.
Yeah. I mean, not and not easily. I said, like, in order to get there, it's not like maybe 20% of the time I have to like go back and do it again because it's like it's just not enough. Yeah, yeah, there's something there, and that's not great. And I wonder when you talk about the aesthetics, I wonder if that's where the original circle one came from. Is because when you go to the dentist, they have the circle thing and they're polishing each tooth. Like I wonder if that's the logic,
the design behind it. I think it is. I think that I don't know if this is for a fact, but I know what you're talking about with the design of the Oral-B toothbrush that had the circular, and that part even, it was like a spin brush. They called it the spin brush because it would spin the way the prophy angle does when you go to the dentist when they do the polishing. So I think that is definitely where it came from.
Like a market. I mean, to me, that's like, I mean, well, not that it didn't work, but it just
works.
You know, you're going to spend 20 seconds per tooth and make sure that you do each tooth because you got to make sure you get it all around it. And
you want to do it the way the dentist does it. Got it.
I right. And that, and that's the marketing part, right? So then, you know, it's going. And when we talk about like that from an aesthetics point of view, I kind of see where you're coming from. Like, okay, like that's the next evolution. Like we got to a toothbrush head that's, you know, that I guess it vibrates back and forth really quickly. But it's small.
Yeah.
And because if the aesthetics is the reason, because it's sexy and it sells, the next evolution is let's just make it like it should be, which is a lot bigger. Now, with that said, when people hear about a bigger toothbrush head, do you get any questions or pushback on how do I get all the way in the back with a bigger head?
Right. So when I had to go through four different prototypes for the Big Mouth toothbrush. And when I did that, it was a different size, the width. So the length of the toothbrush was fine. It's the width of the toothbrush. Can it get behind your last tooth? Absolutely, if you have an average size mouth. And this is what I tell everyone.
Okay.
It's designed for the average size mouth. There are absolutely people that have smaller mouths. There are people that have larger mouths. So I'm the first to say that the Big Mouth toothbrush might not necessarily be for everyone. But it's definitely for the majority of the world. it definitely is. This is the reason why I had to go through that process to just come up with the right dimensions to fit those areas. So I guess the short answer would be, yes, the Big Mouth does fit behind the last tooth of the average size mouth.
Okay. Well, that is good to hear because I know that's always where my dentist gets me or the dentist assistant or the
hygienist.
The hygienist gets me like, oh, you know, you're not getting in the far enough in the back. And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying.
Yes.
I did floss before this morning in order to be here this morning.
That's wonderful.
I wanted to be prepared. So one other thing that came up in the tank that about you before we get to what happened in the tank, because we're definitely going to get there. How long have you been an orthodontist?
I've been an orthodontist since 2008.
Oh, okay. So, because they didn't get to, like, there was a lot of things that seemed to get cut out.
Well, they did, but they didn't show it.
Well, right.
They definitely asked me, but a lot of things they didn't air.
Yeah. But, well, they do cut down. I mean,
they have to.
45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half, down to 8 to 10. It's tough.
Yeah, I swear it felt like I was up there for about 30 minutes, but I wasn't. I was probably up there for about 8 to 9 minutes, but they showed about 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, of the pitch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay,
I was standing
okay
up there for a lot longer.
Yeah. So, and specifically, because you didn't, well, I guess, where did the idea come from? Like, specifically for the Big Mouth
toothbrush?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I wanted to develop a toothbrush, right? So, it started from, like, the last question you asked me. It started from, that was the idea.
Yes.
So, every Sunday, today's Sunday, 3
yes,
o'clock.
Yes, it is Sunday.
At 3 o'clock, my siblings and I, I'm the youngest of 8, and we have a conference call with our parents every single Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And I think that a lot of the things that we do to make ourselves successful, at least between myself and my siblings, is we bring those things on that call. So I brought that idea to the call, and they were like, okay, so just do it. You know, we didn't have a name or anything like that. Like I said, I'm the youngest of 8. I have a very big mouth. I'm very expressive with everything that I do. My nickname a nickname that my mom called me when I was young was Mighty Mouth. Like, you know, Candy, you're just so loud. all right, let's put that to use. So I presented it on the call. Not presented it. We talked about it on the call. And they were like, okay, so let's, you know, what is it going to look like? They were picking my brain in terms of what, you know, what do you want it to be? So I brainstormed, wrote some things down, and I believe probably within that next month, I got with an engineer. I found an engineer, and we had a few meetings. I told him what I wanted it to look like, and we kind of went back and forth, and that was the beginning of the Big Mouth Toothbrush.
Wow.
You know?
And when did the five different settings come into play?
So the engineer is the one that brought that. He gave me some options. All right. He's like, we can do it this way, or we can have, like, he gave me about maybe like six or seven different options for the base. So I gave him the idea for the width. He gave me options for the base. Do you want us to be this, 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 this? And I'm like, well, the more, because the whole thing is bigger is better, right? So I think the more we can offer our consumers, the better. So, and I love spas.
Clearly, because I was going to bring that. I'm going to bring that up a little later too.
So that was part of it, Joe. Seriously, that was part of it. So it's like, I'm literally thinking about jacuzzis when I'm thinking about, oh, this is what I want to offer the consumers. So, needless to say, I was like, as many settings as you can give me, I would love, because there is a variety of people in this world, and everybody does not necessarily want to. You know, and brushing your teeth is boring. So everybody doesn't necessarily want that just same, just I'm going in, I have an electronic toothbrush. No, what if we can add a little pizzazz to it? All right, let's get a pulsation in there. Let's see what type of pulsation would be better for people that have sore gums. There are a lot of people that have sore gums. There are a lot of people that go, and I mean, I'm not advocating for this at all. You should not do this. But there are a lot of people that have soreness or sensitive teeth and don't see a dentist right away. Okay, what do you do in the in-between time? You might need something that might be a little bit more palliative for you, like a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more sensitive of a pulse. So yes, that's the reason why I chose to do the five settings as opposed to just one.
Yeah. So, I mean, as somebody who has been told to not use the electric toothbrush so hard,
right.
I know about this, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you do, you know, having sensitive teeth really... kind of sucks. Yeah. You know, Sensodyne is your friend. I could full-heartedly, I don't know about the real, you know.
No, Sensodyne
stuff,
is
but,
good. It's
oh
just,
my
you
God.
You should use it all the time. You should do like a few weeks on, a few weeks off.
Really?
Yes. It says it in the directions. That's what I tell
I have to read the directions?
Nobody,
I ain't reading.
Who would read directions for toothpaste? Nobody reads directions for toothpaste or toothbrushes. Seriously.
No.
I get it.
Didn't know they had that.
Shouldn't have to, but
it's interesting.
There.
Okay. Yeah, I did, because I think the last time that I think it was in January, I didn't bring Sensodyne toothpaste. I brought some other Crest or something, mm-hmm. right? And I was only there for like 4 or 5 days. But in those 4 or 5 days, I got real sensitive real quick.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's like the general use is like use it for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then take off a couple of weeks. Or if I'm, you know, am I just that messed up that I need it at this point?
No, I think that with a toothpaste like Sensodyne, you've got to use it 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, because your enamel rods get used to that that type of penetration. So they're like, yeah, that's why they tell you to do it that way. So you desensitize yourself. That it works better that way.
Okay. I mean, for me, it's more about the gum line than anything. That's where I had like,
getting into a consultation
now. receding gum line a little bit in some areas.
Did you ever use hard bristle toothbrushes?
So I don't think they were hard. I think they've always been medium.
Pretty
sure medium. Is there like medium hard or something? Or is it just medium? Because they're probably always medium.
Okay.
And it probably should be soft.
Yes.
For me.
I mean, for most people, it should be soft. The majority of people, yes, absolutely. There should be soft. I don't even know why they sell hard bristle toothbrushes. Like, they don't work for anyone. There is no dentist in this world that will tell you to use a hard bristle toothbrush.
I mean, I could see using it to like clean a floor
or
clean
sneakers.
Gum all. Yeah,
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 that's
not, exactly, right? Not with the teeth section or the, you know,
absolutely
oral care section of the CVS or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, no, that's pretty much what I would expect a hard brush toothbrush for. And medium,
medium is okay.
Do they sell many soft? Like, I feel like...
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't go in and... I order stuff on Amazon. Too much on Amazon.
So let me just... The Big Mouth, however, is a combination between soft and medium.
Okay.
Because I also do, like, personally like medium. So this is why I'm like, okay, let's mix the soft bristles with the medium bristles.
And does the soft fall apart? Because maybe I have had soft where it seems like, man, like, within a few days or just, like, a week or something, it's like all the bristles are every direction.
I'm kind of thinking, just based off what you're saying, you are a hard brusher.
If you've had
a soft bristle toothbrush and you've used it for 1 week and the bristles are like this, yeah, you're brushing a little too hard.
Yeah, apparently.
But that's safe though. That, you know, it's safe to brush that hard with a soft bristle toothbrush, you know. But in order for you personally to probably feel clean, you probably need the Big Mouth toothbrush, and we have one over here for you. Right here.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I got one. So the one that's in there is, there's one white one, and then I got you a pink one for your wife.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You can open it later, however.
Yeah, I will save that for my wife to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
For you. I mean, come on. We can't have you messing up. Messing up the bristles, you know.
I never used to think about it because none of the dentists I ever went to said that. You know, they just it never came up in conversation. So
I'm not sure
until recently, in the last year, and okay. I was like, oh, I would have brushed softer. I don't know. Nobody ever mentioned it.
No, you should be able to brush as hard as you want. Just make sure your bristles are soft.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
But I want to brush soft because I don't want to be changing my toothbrush every, you know, 5 days.
That is very true.
So I don't, let me see. I don't want to skip over, how did the call with your family start? When did that sound like something more families should probably do?
Oh, it's amazing.
Including my own family.
we've been doing that, I want to say, for at least the last 7-8 years.
Wow.
Somewhere around there, like 7-8 years. So we started it because we're very close. We're all very, very close. And as everyone started to move out, we were originally from New Jersey.
Oh, really?
From Newark.
Oh, okay.
So as everyone started to move out, either to go to college or to get married or whatever, we realized that it was a lot harder for us to either be together for every single birthday or every single holiday. So we're like, we need to make sure we know what's going on with each other for a lot of reasons, you know, health-wise, kids-wise, what's going on with your kids, what's going on with your wife. So we said, we're going to set a time. It took us a while to find the most appropriate time, but we made it mandatory. So we made it mandatory. So thank goodness for Zoom.
Yeah, well, that's
we
pre-pandemic,
get on Zoom, right?
Like,
oh, it was pre-pandemic,
And that's what's so fascinating.
We were on conference calls, like audio conference calls. And then it translated into Zoom, which is a lot better, especially for my dad. My dad is like 95.
Oh, wow.
So... a lot better for him to be able to see us. So
with the birthdays and stuff, not everybody can make everything because people have, especially once you have kids, you're making this decision to make this decision, and
yeah, there's tons of dates. We can't even keep up.
And then if you end up only like, oh, my mom's, I only see them like maybe 3 to 4 times a year, maybe tops.
Right.
If nothing else, it's just Christmas sometimes.
Yeah, time gets away from us. And time flies. And, you know, it's really, really important to have that. It centers me. Like, it centers me. It's really important to have that that structure, that family structure for me. Like, I live my life by that. So.
Oh, I love that. I definitely appreciate that. And, again, it gives you more opportunities because if for whatever reason you were sick and you couldn't make it,
right,
there's one next week. You know what I mean?
It's not like,
I missed that birthday and the next thing it's going to open up is like 3 or 4 months from now.
Exactly. And since we're all spread out, it kind of makes us feel like we're still there even if we're not there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if somebody's kid turns 12 or if someone has like a sweet 16 or whatever, if someone can't make it, it kind of feels like, you know, we put all the pictures in our chat, so it kind of makes us feel like we're still there. So.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. And we did some of that over Zoom during the pandemic,
yeah.
but I like that idea a lot. Was there any other ideas that came out of that for other family members that like were as big as gone as far as this?
There were a few, a couple I can't really mention. I do, and I'm going to give a special mention to my sister, Pep, call her Pepper. She has bartended like all her life, even though she's a nurse, but she's always been like, right?
Okay.
So we were thinking about purchasing a bar in Philadelphia.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that is all. That
came from that call as well. Like, who's going to play what part? You know, and there's a lot that goes into the whole either restaurant or bar industry, period.
Yeah.
But it's something that we still might be working on.
That's awesome. So she lives in Philadelphia?
Yes, I have a sister and a brother that both live in Philadelphia.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yep.
All right, so leading into the idea that you might get to go on Shark Tank, did you reach out? Did you apply to Shark Tank or did they find you?
I applied.
You applied.
Mm-hmm.
And once you started to get, you know, find out that, hey, this might actually start to happen, talk about how you balance the gauntlet that is Shark Tank with a business and a business, you know, being an orthodox and a business that you're running on the side.
So I applied for Shark Tank, I want to say in like July. And, you know, I guess like anyone that applies, you think that there's, of course, like thousands and thousands of people. So you don't really think that you're going to get a response so quickly. Like, I know people that have applied and it's taken them years to get on there, right? I applied in July. I got a response in August. And I almost missed it. Because I get so many emails and I literally just, I think I didn't even get it the day they sent it. I got it like maybe like 4 days later. And I like freaked out. I was like, oh my God. So I replied to the email. I replied to the email and they didn't respond to me right away. So I was looking for numbers. So I called them. I'm like, you know, hi, Stuck Bobby. Da-da. And he's like, oh, I remember your product. It's the Big Mouth Toothbrush, right? And I'm like, oh my God, you remember who I am. and then from there, they start the interview process. So I'm not, you know, I can't really discuss everything that's involved in that, but you know. So from there, so that was August. I went to pitch in September.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a quick, I mean, turnaround time, 3 months later.
I don't know if everyone's experience is like that, but that's the way mine went.
Yeah.
Mine went that way, yeah. I don't know if maybe there was a couple slots that opened up. I don't know, but...
Well, there's always things moving around, you know, with that. I mean, even if you record, it's not like you're going to necessarily air.
Exactly, and they don't tell you that. So maybe we'll get into that later. But, yeah, that's something that a lot of people do not know.
Yeah, so it's some, you know, it makes it tough on your part, especially when you talk about inventory. But we'll get to that at the end, towards the end of the interview here. But how did you balance this? Like, because obviously you got to make a pitch.
Yeah.
You got to memorize that pitch, right? Perfect that pitch.
Yeah.
You need to go through, again, there's a gauntlet of paperwork and things that you need to go through in that process. Like, how did you make all that happen?
So I definitely have a lawyer. There's a ton of paperwork that you actually have to go through. For me, I have an amazing staff. So at that point in time, yes, I was dealing with a toothbrush and like other businesses, but I was kind of able to balance meeting deadlines with them because I do have an amazing staff that they would allow me to write what I need to write. The pitch, I stayed up late night for hours writing and perfecting. So you write the pitch and that's usually not your finished pitch. You know, the longer pitch is like, it's not your finished pitch. It has to come out a certain way. You can write it and it sounds great in your head. But then once you record yourself saying it, you're just like, this doesn't sound right. And you also want it to sound authentic. You want it to sound like you, want it to represent who you are. And just, you want it to represent your product properly. So yeah, there were a lot of alterations to that. I would say I worked on it day and night for a while. I rehearsed it in front of so many people. I did. So once we narrowed it down, because you know when they when you first give them a pitch, it's like 11 minutes. The first pitch is like 11 minutes, Joe. Like, seriously, can you imagine memorizing something for 11 minutes?
That is a lot. That is a lot.
11 minutes
on top of everything else you're
without,
doing.
Exactly. So when I tell you day and night, I memorized this. It was literally day and night. And I'm so much of a perfectionist. I had to get it right. And then we're like, okay, well, we just need a 5-minute pitch. You had to narrow that 11-minute pitch down to 5 minutes. Okay, well, let's just do 2 minutes. Narrow it down to 2 minutes, which wasn't that hard.
Well, once you've been to 11 and 5,
yeah,
2 minutes.
Down to 2 minutes is like, okay. But it's like, you know, what do you keep in? And what do you know, that's what was the biggest, like, challenge for me in terms of delivering the pitch the right way. Because it's so many other things, especially if you're passionate about your product. There's so many other things that you want to kind of just throw in there, you know, just kind of throw that, make sure they know this, because you really only have that one moment, you know, in front of the sharks. So, it was a process, 11 minutes and 5 minutes and 2 minutes. I even have a 30-second pitch that I was like working on just in case I was like in an elevator with somebody, you know what I mean? Making sure you have all of the proper, terms, you know, down, like run them down. Like I did like a fake Shark Tank where I had a couple of my friends there that had businesses, and I'm just like, all right, ask me questions. You know what I mean? It's like you try to do whatever you can do, but there really is nothing like the moment that you're actually there. You know, nothing like it.
Yeah. I mean, because you don't know. I mean, even if you watched every episode of Shark Tank, you don't know what happens between that, like between episodes, between seasons. You know, they have other deals and things and opportunities presented to them.
Yep.
So, you know, you could like, oh, well, they've invested in this and this and this and this. You go online, you're like trying to check out the portfolio, but you don't know what's happening behind the scenes of what they're working, what deals being, you know, shelved. Yeah. Versus being what's worked on.
And you don't know who's going to be there. Like, they don't really tell you exactly who you're... Because, you know, they have guest sharks.
And
a lot of people switch out. Like, you don't even know who you're going to be in front of. So you don't even know, you know, even if, you know, the question and answer period comes, you don't even know who's going to be there. So you can't even prepare to be, like, witty with whoever your favorite shark is. Because you don't really know who's going to be there.
If they're going to... Yeah. I mean, I've heard it change up to, like, a week out.
The day of. That morning they told me two guest sharks wouldn't be there. There were no guest sharks when I got in front of them.
Wow.
So it really does change. People want to leave. Things happen. They got to fly out.
Yeah.
So I get it. But yeah, you just never know.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a gauntlet for them too. You know, 8 to 9 pitches a day, like at 40 to, you know, an hour and a half per pitch. I mean, that's a lot on people to sit there and have to listen and try to be at least somewhat nice, you know, cordial, like the filter.
Or even just look so attentive. Yeah, like some of them are trying to be on their phones and stuff. It's just like...
You'll see Mark on his phone quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Especially once he's determined that he's out.
He's out of it, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a time commitment for them as well.
Yeah,
100%. So walking down the hall, how are you feeling? Are you feeling confident, scared, nervous?
So let me tell you about that. So right before you walk down the hall, there's probably about 10 people telling you to do a couple of different things. My personal experience was I blocked them all out. I did. I blocked them all out. And, you know, when you're watching the show... the doors open and they went dun 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 dun. Okay, there's no music. Okay, it's completely silent.
Was the music in your head?
The music was in my head. You're walking past the aquariums on either side of you, right? So you're walking down. It's completely quiet. You hear a couple of whispers. You know, I guess with the cameramen when you get there. Doors open because you've already done like a kind of like a practice run through. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like walking up. There's like an X. You walk to the X, they tell you, don't look at the X. If you watch the show, sometimes people do watch because they look at it because they're nervous. They're like, don't look at the X. So you walk and you keep your head up, and then there's about 45 seconds where you're just looking at the sharks, like, and then somebody says, go! Hi, my name is Bobby Peterson. I'm gonna you start your spiel. But what was going through my mind? Honestly, I was ready. I was ready. Like, I had rehearsed this pitch while I did everything in my life for like a week. So when I'm working out, I'm saying the pitch. When I'm, you know, I'm doing yoga, it's in my head. I rehearsed that pitch so well that I was like, I want to make sure I know this so well that at least they can't take this from me. Because you never know what's going to happen in Tank. So it's like, I want to make sure I have this down packed. So if anything they say about me, they can't say my pitch wasn't on point. You know what I mean? I was like, let me just walk out of the Tank with that. Regardless if I mess up the questions, if, you know, they say they don't like my product, because you really, they don't like my presentation, the way it looks. I can handle that. But they're not going to say they don't like this pitch. They're not going to say that.
And you celebrated after you completed it.
Oh, did you see that?
Yes, they did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not something that I feel I've seen much in the Tank of the entrepreneurs celebrating the fact that they nailed their pitch.
I just needed that. Like, regardless, because you're super nervous. Like, you're super nervous. And this is your moment. This is your moment. So at least give yourself that. That's one thing that I would absolutely tell anyone going into the Tank. Make sure your pitch is on point. That way, even if you mess up the questions, you mess up something after, at least hold on to that. Like, let that be the memory that you leave the Tank with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I absolutely. So you went in looking for $150,000 for 10%. How did you come up with that valuation?
So, listen, I think that my company is worth a lot more. But when it comes to analyzing your valuation, it just literally needs to make sense. Like, you've seen the show. It has to make sense. So after I calculated based on my sales and what my upcoming sales would be for the following year, without Shark Tank, of course. And that's basically how I came up with it. But I started with the 10%, but I was willing to give at least like 25. Like, you have to have a range. And that was my mental note going in. Like, for me, it was like 120. Do I think that was, you know, enough? I value my company at much more than that. Much more than that. You know, because I know my potential. I know my potential, Joe. So, but that's hard to explain. They don't know me. They know nothing about me. So I just had to get in there and just kind of show them, you know, who I am and where this amazing product came from, you know? So I was excited to do that. Very nervous, but super excited.
So one thing that they skipped over in the edited part was you said January to July was $60,000, mm-hmm. but it didn't say dollars or units.
Oh, it was just $60,000.
Okay. I assume, like, but you know what assume means. So.
Oh, right.
You know, because if it was 60,000 units, like,
the money would be way more. Yeah, the valuation would be way more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But again, assuming is you know, leads mm-hmm. to bad things. speaking of bad things, Kevin's toothless photo. Where did that come from?
I said I needed to make fun of him. So it was really funny. When I was speaking to the producers, I was like, there were a couple of things that I kind of presented to them. And I was like, you know what? I was like, well, maybe this would work better. Because it's like, he's already bald. Like, you know, he's like, there's certain things that you can kind of pick at him about. But no one's ever picked at his teeth. So I'm like, you know, me being a dentist, this is a toothbrush. Let's just have like a toothless. And then they had to, that picture, that photo had to go through a couple of different levels of people. And then they okayed it. So I was like, okay, great.
And he didn't get to see it.
No,
before.
Nobody. Okay. None of the sharks see anything in terms of your presentation before. They know nothing about you, from what I hear. They know nothing about you or your product, anything like that. Or what goes on there is all through the producers.
Right. Yeah. And it would make sense because you want authentic laughs or whatever. And he had a good laugh at it as well.
They are pretty
strict
when it comes to that, though. They are like, the producers are pretty strict in terms of what you can say or show about the sharks, you know, because there's a lot of legal issues involved in that.
Yeah, like,
they have to be looked at in a certain light. And I understand that. But a lot of people do poke fun at Kevin. So that's why I was like, let me see if I can do that.
And so going into the Tank, did you have a shark that you were have in mind that you wanted to do a deal with?
Yeah, you want to know? Or
like, well, yeah, of course. No, that's what we're here for, right?
I think that my main thing was I kind of wanted to work with a woman. Mm. Like, it was, like, for me, it was between like Lori and Barbara. I loved, like, initially, I loved how both of them treat their entrepreneurs. I love that Barbara has her, like, you know, they have vacations together and they have conferences and things like that. So I loved that aspect of it. So I guess I could say right now that was my preference walking in.
Okay.
They're all amazing, though, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't know, like, if you had Kevin in mind.
No,
you know, could, like,
not necessarily.
You know, poking the bear with the photo and everything.
Yeah, but he was the last shark in there.
Yeah, he was. He was. So, but before we get to that, like, so let's talk about the spa in your mouth. Does that where did that come from? Because obviously you said it a couple, like, at least twice.
Yes. The spa in your mouth literally came from, again, I love spas. And once I was presented for the option to have multiple vibrations, I was like, this is what it feels like. Like, that literally came out of my mouth after I had the first prototype. Not the wider. It was much wider. But that's what I felt. And I was like, yo, this really feels like a spa. You know, and simply put, that's exactly where it came from, because of the feeling that I felt. That's it, you know?
No, I just thought it was funny, and then you know, said it again.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're going to say the same thing when you try it.
I'm looking forward to it. How did you come across the being the first Black person to develop an electric toothbrush?
I had no clue. I had no clue when I first started it. Once we started to do our runs, and people were, my patent lawyer and my team were going through, like, what's been what with the toothbrush industry. They have to do all of that when they search everything in order for the patent to go through, which I did get in January.
Oh, ding, ding. That's awesome.
I got the patent. So when they're going through that process, they see who's done what in terms of the toothbrush industry. And then when it came back to me, it was just like, wow, okay, that's a plus. That's cool. You know, like, I love that. But it was definitely not anything that I knew prior to creating this.
Wow.
Not at all. It's just when they did their runs and they went through everything that they needed to do to get the patent.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, and as far as the patent, did you get the design or the utility?
I got the design patent.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's possible to get the actual utility patent, because there's so many toothbrushes. There's so many electronic toothbrushes. There's so many. I mean, they're all used for the same thing. So it's almost impossible. But did I try? Absolutely.
What do you think, Ding? You gotta try, right?
You gotta try.
Ask none, want none, or whatever?
Exactly. Yep. I absolutely tried.
So the sharks all seem to be very concerned about competing with the big, what, three or four companies out there, which I found... you know, very interesting that, like, every product doesn't necessarily have to be a grand slam, right? Like, it can be a home run. It doesn't mean it has to be a grand slam. As far as going in and competing with anybody,
right.
I mean, they're all, I mean, because I think I'm pretty sure in my video, I took, issue with mm-hmm. Kevin, like, oh, he asked for too much money, like, I don't think she's gonna ask for, like, less.
I said too much money. I said that in verbal. I was like, too much money, but I totally get what you're saying. I mean, I think that where the sharks are in their careers. Right. I mean, I have to say it this way, like, where they're on their careers, if they are going to back something like a toothbrush, they get presented with a lot of different businesses. Right. But if they're going to be presented with something like a toothbrush, I feel as though they feel they need to be competitive with the highest people in the market. Like, they have to be like, oh, it's me. So it has to be, I have to be able to compete with Colgate. Like, I have to be able to compete with those numbers. But when I developed a toothbrush, that's not even a thought in my head. I know mine is different. It's for a certain subset of people. It's not, my toothbrush is not for everyone in the world. Do I feel like this for most people? Absolutely. So I felt what they were saying. Lori didn't say that. She gave a lot of positive feedback about it. She loved the settings. She said, oh, this side of my mouth is absolutely cleaner than the other side, you know? So, but I feel like she, that's why I love her, because I feel like she gives positive feedback even if she's not going to give you a deal. But I do feel like, to answer your question, I feel like it, with something like a toothbrush or a toothpaste, if they're going to get behind an entrepreneur, they're going to want to be at least be able to compete with those brands. And I honestly just don't think it's necessary. Like, it's just, to me, it's just not necessary.
Yeah, I don't think it is at all. And I feel like it, well, where I thought you were going to go is, I mean, there's always a lot of pushback on the sharks. Like, you know, are you just too jaded at this point? Like, you've had too many deals that didn't go the way you wanted it to go, or, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You're just jaded at this point.
I think a lot of them give deals to people that where they don't have to
compete,
do too much. Right.
I mean, education is expensive, right? And I don't take that lightly from their perspective. You know, but being a person that develops something and you're in that field, mm-hmm. I mean, immediately adds credence. I mean, if it didn't, we wouldn't have so many snake oil salespeople selling things that they have no business selling, and their doctorate might not even be a doctorate, you know, of medicine of any sort.
Right.
They still get sales like crazy. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like it's
totally get it.
Kind of a shame that it wasn't better received in that light of, well, you know, there's three big competitors and we're not going to be able to compete. Like, did we all forget about guerrilla marketing? Like, and well, part of that is having somebody that can stand up and say, like, well, I've been an orthodontist for this long period of time.
That's what I've seen.
And we're going to sell, you know, toothbrushes. And that's where, I guess, Kevin's crazy deal comes into play. Was it 25% originally, and you countered with 20?
I think he said 30.
30%.
I think he said 30%. $5 in perpetuity. Yes.
Yes.
$5 in perpetuity. And he said something that bothered me. Kevin, love you, but he was like, "Your margins can take it." Like, what do you mean? Like, that's nuts. I can see if you were saying $5 per box until you get your money back. Okay. I mean, even I wouldn't take that, but I'm just still like, what?
You could, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make it doesn't just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? Like, that would make it very difficult, because because your idea is to go to retail. Yeah. And at that point, now close to almost $20, right? Landed.
Yeah.
And before we sell it to them and they want it at, you know, for $40 to $50. Now things are real tight, because you're only making $20 per toothbrush.
Right.
They're selling it for either $69.99 or maybe $100.
That's what we're hoping.
Some point, but you gotta earn that market share to get enough people to say, you need to go buy this so that you can get that price permanently up to the $99. Mm-hmm. And then maybe beyond that, if your costs go up. Honestly, I'm impressed that you were able to get an electronic anything at $14 landed.
Right. It's because I had to buy so many, and that's what I've been working with.
Yeah. And that creates a cash crunch that, mm-hmm. if you don't sell them, and then and meanwhile, he wants to take $5 per.
Exactly.
So you counter back at 25% for
$2. $2 per.
So I guess his was 30. I might have missed that when I was watching in the car yesterday on the family event, taking the notes.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it was. And then I said $2 per box, but it was not in perpetuity. They cut that part out because I didn't realize they cut that part out until somebody mentioned it on Instagram. I thought that it was understood. They were like, yeah, but you're giving $2 for the rest of your business, the life of your business. And I'm like, no, it was not in perpetuity. It was like until you get your money back and then we grow together. So that does make a big difference.
A huge difference. Because
a lot of people didn't see. I don't know how they edited it, but it's not in perpetuity.
Okay. And Barbara was down for that.
Yep.
You know, I there's been times where Kevin, well, any of the Sharks have been like, yeah, I'm just, I mean, I think Damon did it just recently too, where he was like, I don't want to embarrass, you know, I'm not going to embarrass you with an offer because I'm going to be like 60% of this.
He did say something like that, right?
He's yeah.
Like, I'm like, well, come on. What is it? What would you say?
And that's the thing. It's like he did come forward because it wasn't that far off. But the $5 in perpetuity is a lot to ask. And I also would feel like this came up with the Spices company just like a week or two ago on the show where they were like they came in. You know, if they want to come on the show, that's you guys are more than welcome to come on the show. But like. He, you know, with an influencer deal for Kevin, you know, Chef Wonderful to take on to, and it's like he's not going to do
it. What was the offer?
So they sell spices, and they instead of being like $9.99, it would be like the influencer one would be like $12.99 or something, and Kevin would get like $3 from it from everything that he sold of his specific Chef Wonderful spice.
Oh, okay,
and it's like. Yeah, no, he ain't doing all this so that
he can work for him.
That's everybody's, you know, deal, right? That's every other Instagrammer, TikToker. That's the deal that they get, and it works for them because they don't. They're not giving you a whole bunch of money in the up front. You know, 100, it was 200,000, 250,000. You know what I mean? Like he's paying for that right to
basically.
Like. Oh yeah, then I can get. He's like, no, I want the $3 on every spice, and it's like. They're selling for $10. Like there ain't $3 to give you unless everything goes up.
What was their deal?
Did they make it? Hold on, I have it here in my notebook.
Okay,
Burlap and Barrel. They wanted $500,000 for 5%, and the offer that they wanted to give was $500,000. Or Kevin offered $500,000 for 10%, and then with five. Some and I wrote five slash to 6-7 mil, but yeah, basically, it was a royalty deal on top of that 20%, and yeah, but they wanted to do like a royalty and an affiliate deal at the same time. It was
interesting.
Yeah, and again, you're asking Mr. Wonderful to pay $500,000 for that right when you're giving that deal to people to just sell on their own. Like, you know, he's not going to go and just sell spices to make a couple, $2-3 a thing. But it also kind of put him on blast, too, because it's like, you know, he's Chef Wonderful. He's wonderful. He should be able to sell.
He should be able to,
I snapped my fingers and I just got like $2 million in my bank account because everyone's going to buy my spices, right? But if it obviously it ain't that easy, right? So if it was that easy, it'd been like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, but again, when you go and ask them for that much money, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, they pick you apart with that. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter if you're giving up 25% for $500,000. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not all billionaires. As a lot of people don't understand, they're not all billionaires.
That is very true.
Mark's a billionaire.
Mark is a billionaire.
The other ones are 100 millionaires, and $500,000 is a lot of money.
It is. Like, they're already invested in tons of businesses, too.
Yes, and they don't necessarily I mean, they're on the show, so like, technically they have to give something away at some point, but like, they don't have to give anything like that away to still be there. So Barbara jumps in and says that she will take that deal, 25% for $2 until she recoups. You're saying until she recoups her money. Are you still in due diligence in that deal, or is that?
Yes, we're still in due diligence. We're kind of going back and forth a little bit, but we are working together. We already started working together, but we have not like locked it in. We're still.
And I've heard that from a lot of different entrepreneurs where it's like they've already, you know, from the moment the deal is done, like their people already reaching out and like they're the day of.
Well, I don't know if the other Sharks do it that way, but that same day, somebody from Barbara's camp was talking to me.
Oh, wow.
She's very proactive, and I love that about them. I love that about them. Regardless of if we sign the paperwork or not, we're still going to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the show wraps up for you. You head back home. What's some of the first things you do to prepare for maybe getting to be on Shark Tank?
So, Joe, you do nothing, because what they do is they tell you... we don't know if you're going to air. We don't know. We don't know if you're going to air, whether you get a deal or not. And, you know, just sit back and relax. Don't say anything to anyone. You can't say anything to anyone. What we'll do is when we know when you're going to air, you'll get about 3 weeks to get your life together. And that's pretty much it.
Well, I meant from the business standpoint. Did revamp the website? Do we, we're putting a big order for, you know.
Oh, from the business, okay.
Yeah, so from the business standpoint. Not just that.
Oh, no, well, I pretty much did what I was going to do anyway. Like, once, even though I knew that we did, you know, film Shark Tank, with the business, I just carried on, you know, every cent. And that's what I do with every cent I make. I put it right back in until I'm comfortable. So yes, we did redo the website. We got more inventory. We upgraded our shipping supplies and hired a couple people
to be able to ship.
Yep.
Yeah,
because I was you heard my pitch. I was literally using my dental staff, and they were just like, come on, doc. Like, you know?
Like, it was cute at first.
But then,
3 months,
hobby.
4 months, five months later.
It's nice. This is your little hobby, but like, come on, doc. I think when I got back from Shark Tank, I kind of went full speed ahead with just making sure that everything looked nicer. You know, everything looked nicer, just better quality of everything. And, you know, I set up a little marketing strategy to just bring a little bit more, you know, brand awareness. I did a few events. I did an event, a women's health event in LA. I did one in Atlanta with a bunch of influencers that helped spread the word. So I kind of got on top of that once Shark Tank was done. But of course, I couldn't say anything.
Right. And so once you found out, like, did you have a party, a watch party? Or
yeah, man, I had three. So
that's awesome.
Once I knew when it was going to air, what I did was I had one, like a big one in New York, and then I had one in Miami at the same time because I have a cousin that owns this beautiful art gallery down there. So we had one there at the same time. And then the following weekend, I had a big one in Atlanta. So I have a big Atlanta base in terms of my following. And we did one there with a bunch of influencers. And man, when I tell you, I'm not even just from Shark Tank, but just from the just amount of people that just knew about it and that how we spread the word and all the hashtags that I saw, like, it was huger, much bigger than I thought it was going to be. But we sold out of our products within not even 2 hours. People started buying the product from the minute I hit the stage. I was looking at the time frame. The minute I hit the stage, they started to purchase the product, and we were sold out that night. Like, before my event was over, we were sold out.
Wow.
Nuts. Luckily, I had another shipment on the way already.
Hey, there you go.
You know, that's what a good entrepreneur would do.
No, that's phenomenal. Yeah. I track the search traffic from when it show, you know, when mm-hmm. the show airs and all that. That's how I know to do the show the night that it airs instead of waiting.
I was going to ask you that, and then you went through you didn't go through the Big Mouth website. You went through my office website, I think.
Oh, is that what?
Or Instagram? You went through the office Instagram? Yeah.
Oh, the office Instagram.
You didn't go through
Instagram.
The Big Mouth
okay.
Instagram. Or my personal Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's where a lot of the traffic came from. And then, of course, from TikTok.
Okay, yeah. So I was on the wrong site. The reason is because the site that I use that's the one that they linked to.
Okay.
There's like, you know, a few Shark Tank blogs, and mm-hmm. one of them, that's the site that they linked to. So I was like, okay. Where because I don't really look at it too closely prior because I want like first impressions.
Yeah.
But, and then sometimes I miss things because of that. And then I get people like, oh, you missed this and this and this. And it's like, because I'm going through it and I don't want to just, like, you know, blank stare at the camera for, you know, 30 seconds because I'm not editing these videos. They're shot live.
Right,
like, not live as in when it's airing, but recorded and then recorded.
Post-right away.
Yeah, like it's all in real time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have time to do that because I'm posting the same night.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah, that's what that was.
Yeah, so by the time it's on the West Coast, you know, it's airing on the West Coast, mine's already there. Mm-hmm. So that's when you get like a second round of spike. Not as big as the East Coast. If I could have the episode an hour before it airs, God, that would make it like so much more search traffic would come. But then there's like a second wave on Saturday where, because there's a lot of people that DVR it, because that's like still a thing, or watch it on Hulu.
On demand.
Like on demand or Hulu the next morning, the next day, and you can see like the wave of people coming through Saturday. By Sunday, it starts to die down a little bit, but... That initial search traffic is huge.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm able to get the first pitch on before the episode is finished airing.
Oh, wow.
That's how quick I've gotten the process down to. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
That's really good, I'm sure.
It is, but, you know, it brings a lot of people to the channel and search traffic and views and ads and all that stuff.
So it
brings all the good things to the channel. So how did you come across my video then?
Someone sent it to me. So someone that missed my actual pitch went on YouTube to find it, and yours came up. Because it wasn't posted.
Right.
And let me ask you. So I know that there were other people that were on Shark Tank, and they tried to post. This is a group of guys that pitched the same day as me. Right,
okay.
They aired in November, but they were there to pitch the same day.
Okay.
So I've been in contact with them. They tried to upload their actual pitch once it aired, and they weren't able to. But you, I guess because of the way you do it, you're able to put it up there.
So
people can find
it's a little magic. And that's part of the thing. It's like you can't, like, Shark Tank will let you put it up, but if your goal is to get people to be able to view it or see it in a large swath of areas, they're all like, and I mean by countries, like not just America, that's where you're going to run into problems, because it's not licensed in every country.
Okay.
But the way I do it, it kind of circumvents that so that anybody in any country, because only about 55 to 60% of the super community is actually in the States. The rest of it is in, like, India. What's the second country behind India? Because I want to say, like, India is, like, 4 to 6%, depending on the month, of the total viewership. And then I can't think of the country
So that makes sense then.
Yeah, that's why. So it's like, it's not that nobody could probably see it.
Yeah.
It's just that...
It's limited.
Yeah, if you're trying to get people out of the country where they don't have the licensing rights for Shark Tank to be able to license it to show it to somebody outside of the country, they just cut it off.
That makes sense.
So that's why I do it the way I do it. But if... I mean, obviously they have their pitch. I don't know which, you know, group of guys you're referring to, but...
Yeah, they have these... they got to deal with Robert. They have these they're well lit, like they're not skateboards but some kind of boogie board.
Oh, Action Glow.
Yeah.
So yeah, they are. I did send them their, I'm pretty sure I sent them their clip, or they had a clip, but the one that they had was a lot lower quality than the one I was able to get to them.
They have been trying to get on Shark Tank for 10 years.
Yes, yeah, and they've been on this show as well. I promised I would go to Michigan. They're supposed to be doing some kind of giant sandwich, or no, it was some kind of world record thing. They had the world record, and then some other town in Canada took it away.
Oh, wow.
And now they're going to get that, maybe it was pie, like the largest apple pie or peach pie or something.
Oh my gosh.
Something that they make in Michigan, in that town in Michigan. They're trying to get it back. And I was all right, well, let me know.
Yeah,
I'll book a flight and I'll come out and we'll make some videos and have a good time.
They are super cool. I love those guys.
They are.
Same day.
Really, yeah. So if you haven't watched that interview, maybe I'll link that interview at the end, somewhere in the middle here of the screen. When we, after you finish watching this one. Where was I going with this? One other question. I'm assuming you didn't know, because I think I heard your voice, that Kevin wrote his MBA thesis on the dental industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was just all fluff. Like, you know, yo, Kevin's very fluffy when it comes to things like that. He's an expert on everything. So it's like, all right, you know, I didn't pay too much attention to it. I just kind of laughed and then just kept answering questions.
Yeah, it seems like, I feel like that would have, should have came up at some point prior, because you're not the first dental thing to go on Shark Tank, right? No. I'm pretty sure.
No,
so
there's been like toothpaste. There's been, I don't think there's
Well, the Funk Off was just on there. That was
right.
Sort of a brush of sorts, not a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I thought that was a cool idea.
Yeah, yeah. They were awesome. They came on the show mm-hmm. a couple weeks back as yeah. well. Now I need to link multiple videos here. But anyway, yeah, so
yeah,
I didn't
pay much attention to it. I
was just weird, like, Kevin trivia to know about. But
he's an expert on everything, got it.
He is. Dr. Robbie, what was your dream growing up? Was it to you said it was in science, something in science.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even say my dream was in science. It was just I was good at it. So it was like, that's kind of what interests me. But I would say that my dream growing up was just to be successful. Just to be successful, just to be comfortable. I didn't necessarily have an idea of like how that looked per se until I got into college. But I definitely had some great role models. So it was like, you know, I just want to make sure that I have a good balance in my life. Like, I don't want to have to work too much. I want to make sure I can play a little bit. Like, I, you know, whatever I do decide to do with my life, I want to make sure I can incorporate my personality. Like, I want it to be like, I want to live my life and be happy. You know, it wasn't necessarily like, oh, I'm going to be a dentist or, oh, I'm going to be a doctor. It was never really like that. It's just, I just definitely wanted to be successful. And I wanted to make sure that when I did get up and go to work, that it wasn't like, oh, I'm getting up and go to work. You know what I mean? Whatever that means, that's exactly what my focus was.
Well, it sounds like that would have been, if you were just a general dentist, that would have probably been the picture. So I'm
for
glad
me,
you
for figured, me, maybe, yeah. Yeah,
well, yeah, because yeah. if you don't want to be doing the bloody,
yeah,
yeah, yeah like
the
all
root
that
canals
stuff.
And like all that, I definitely did not want to do
that drill, man. It goes right through my ears. I can hear it.
Yeah, and I didn't want to have a bunch of patients that were like, you know, traumatized. Like for me, I don't even have to give needles. Like, you know, that's like the whole, like, I hate dentists because of the needles and the smells and the noise. You come into my office, there's none of that.
Like, you're in the right place.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on in. Let's get you in and out. And it's quick. Just come on. Let me just tighten your braces and get up, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what does the future of Big Mouth look like?
Well, we have a new version of the Big Mouth toothbrush that's coming out. It's the Sonic version. A lot of people have been asking me, like, the difference between, like, an electronic toothbrush and a Sonic toothbrush. Some people also think that Sonic is just like a brand. So, but Sonic is an actual type of electronic toothbrush. So when you say a toothbrush is just electronic, like the version of the Big Mouth right now, the vibrations per minute are literally only between, not only, because it's a lot, between 9 and 10,000. So 9 and 10,000 vibrations per minute for an electronic toothbrush, whereas the new version of the Big Mouth toothbrush will have about 45,000 vibrations.
Mm.
Per minute.
Wow.
So, and it's amazing. I want you to see it.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's going to be wow. the new version. It's coming out in June.
Aesthetically, I love, like, it's black, so yeah. it looks great. Mm-hmm. But is there really a difference? Like, because when you're saying Sonic, like, there's Sonicare, right? So, but people associate kind of like Kleenex and tissues,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
That is beautiful.
That is exactly what it is. People associate it with the brand name, but Sonic, in terms of the toothbrush industry, literally just means the amount of vibrations per minute. So I know a lot of dentists talk to their patients about getting a Sonic toothbrush. Like I said, a lot of people have emailed us about, oh, when are you getting a Sonic version? When are you going to do an ultraviolet light? When are you going to do this? Listen, things take time, but I'm very proud of this. And I really cannot wait for it to come out.
That is beautiful. Looking forward to that. And ultraviolet, is that something else in the
Yeah, somebody else like, hey, when are you going to develop an ultraviolet light that cleans the head of the toothbrushes? I mean,
okay.
My toothbrushes, they come with an aerated cap, which is not something that actually cleans the head of the toothbrush, but it prevents the bacteria from sticking the way it usually would if you just leave your toothbrush out to air.
Yeah.
So,
We're getting there.
Very good.
Yes, 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 yes.
Where can everybody go and get their own Big Mouth toothbrush?
Yes. So right now, we are definitely still direct to consumer. At least until we get some more inventory. We are still sold out again, Joe. We sold out again, Joe. I'm like, oh my God. But just so grateful. So BigMouthToothbrush.com.
That's awesome.
Straight to our website.
Ding, ding.
You know, the link is in my bio on Instagram. The link is in my bio on TikTok. But yeah, direct to consumer is where we're going right now.
Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with us and just give such a great interview. And I'm so glad that you know, again, coming all the way down from Brooklyn to be here in South Jersey is awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's amazing to be here.
And thank you for watching all the way to the end here. If you haven't seen Dr. Bobby's pitch, click on up here. If not, I'll see you in the video down below. Maybe I'll do one of the other interviews that we talked about here, if I remember when I get a, because I got to edit all this and everything. Anyway, take care and go be super.